certainly appreciate you taking time to listen in, and we trust that as you share fellowship with us through listening to our Facebook message, that the Lord will draw near to you and give you encouragement, and that he will bless you and your family even at this time and meet your particular needs. We live in days when there's still a degree of uncertainty, but we know that there is the easing now of lockdown, and I think the signs would be showing that hopefully there will be a lot more easing of that lockdown before too long. The Lord's work is on, and so does the needs of his people. Please do remember to pray one for another, and if I can address specifically those in Agalee, remember please to uphold each other at the throne of grace and prayer each day, remembering the young people. It's a long time now from they were in school and university, and we do trust that the Lord will keep their minds well and that he will undertake for them throughout the remainder of this time of shutdown. Please do remember to pray for the ill as well. We will be doing that tonight. Remember to pray for the NHS and other frontline workers. Remember to pray for the government and for our country as a whole, that in and through all of this experience, that glory might be brought to the Lord's name. We're getting down to prayer again tonight, as usual. It's from 8:30 to approximately 9:30, and we would encourage as many of the congregation as possible to spend that time in prayer. Please do that, and we trust that the Lord will encourage you as you seek his face. We will be praying, of course, for the various needs that there are, in not only in the congregation and their families, but we have a couple of things we want to mention specifically to you tonight. We would ask you please to remember those who are unwell. If we could especially tonight remember our brother Robert Green, who hasn't been unwell this few days, to pray for the medication that he's on, that it will have good effect soon, and that he will know the Lord's presence and the Lord's comfort at this time. We'd also like you to pray for the Word Online. We do thank you for listening to those messages. We trust that congregation are benefiting from them. We know you are, and others are too. And we are continually encouraged by the reports from people, some people we don't even know. And we do thank the Lord that his word, not just for the sake of having likes on our Facebook page or having people listening to us, but that the word of the Lord is helping people in all the various circumstances. I'm very conscious that even though some of the past weeks we've had with our Facebook pages, we've got a reach of 4,000 or 5,000 in a week, and we know that among all of those people, and if all of the number that will take time to listen to the messages, we know that there are very many needs with people, needs that we don't know about, complex needs, and needs that the Lord is able to meet. And do pray that his word would be a great help to the people in these days. And also for myself, as I prepare the messages and continue to preach, we want you to know that we miss you greatly, and we do long for that day. And hopefully it'll not be too long now until we're able to come back and meet together in God's house again. It's great to have sermon audio and Facebook and to know that the word is able to go out, but there is no substitute for meeting with God's people and enjoying the warmth of fellowship that we have the one with the other. We trust you're well tonight as you join us now. And we're going to have a word of prayer just before we turn to the word. Lord, we thank thee again this evening for the opportunity to call upon thy name. Do rejoice, Lord, in all thy goodness that we can enjoy in salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of sins forgiven, for the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for his restraining work. Thank you, Lord, for his comfort. Thank you, Lord, for his teaching in our lives. And Father, today we pray for all who will listen now, that the Lord, that you would draw near to us, that you would meet the need of every home. We pray, Lord, against this virus, that you would drive it away. We thank you, Lord, that there has been progress. And Lord, we do pray that very soon that our country will be, Lord, free from this terrible thing. And we pray that, Lord, you draw near to all our NHS staff, some of them, Lord, growing weary now with so many weeks of intense work. We pray that the Lord would meet their need and other frontline workers too. And Lord, as people now trickle back to work in various places, may you keep them safe as well. And may the Lord's presence be known with them. Bless the work of Christianity in these days. for evangelism that is planned. We pray, Lord, that you would undertake for that, and even, Lord, that which would bring glory to thy name, that the Lord would be pleased to be seen, to be in all of these things. Bless us now as we turn to thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading tonight in the book of Jeremiah. If you could turn, please, to chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, and the words that we're going to read are addressed to those who have been led captivity to Babylon. And it says there in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 29, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you." It's always good to remember things like that when we read it, that God will perform his good word toward us. Maybe he's given your promise and it hasn't been realized yet. It doesn't mean he's forgotten, because he hasn't. He will perform that which he said he will do. It says there in verse 10, "In causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless his precious word, publicly read this evening. It is to verse 11 that I want to draw your attention for a while this evening. It says there in verse 11 of Jeremiah chapter 29, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It's encouraging as well as important for all of us to know that the Lord has arranged everything about us, that he is conscious of every inch of our pathway that we travel down here below, and also that he thinks upon us, not just when we feel that we deserve it, or when we feel in our own estimation that we particularly need him to think upon us, but he thinks upon us continually. Now, the people that we've read about tonight, who had been brought into captivity for 70 years in Babylon, the Lord never stopped thinking about them. He would know that there would be winds of doubt that would come to them when they were there. They would often be in the slough of despond. There would be perhaps, as they considered things, the pain of regret, and how in many ways they were living with the consequences of how they had lived, and that's something that we always want to bear in mind. But he was conscious also of their recognition of their own unworthiness. But nonetheless, the Lord continually thought upon them. It says there in that verse 11, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." And you know, as you look at this verse and study it very carefully, it brings to our attention something that we would not want to overlook. During the pandemic, we have been looking out for people who are isolated and on their own, and making sure that they have enough assistance in a practical way. We have been praying one for another, be praying together. But we would not want to overlook the importance of caring for our state of mind. When the Lord spoke these words to the Jews in Babylon, he was aware that a combination of things could all have come together to have them now living in a very negative state of mind. And I want to say, Christian, that that is never God's will for us, to slip and sink into a negative state of mind. I don't know, and can never really tell how anyone's state of mind is, people could appear to be doing very well and to be very happy, but the reality could be very different from that. And then on the other hand, people could look as though they are down and discouraged, and maybe they're not. We can't, you see, look into their heart and know. But the Lord knows all about us. He's familiar with the going out and their coming in. And in this verse 11, in Jeremiah chapter 29, he says words that ought to help the state of mind of those who were there and ought to help us today as well. Because when we look at them, we find encouragement regarding the posture of the Christian's mind. And that is the title of my message this evening to you, the posture of the Christian's mind. I want to say, first of all, that there ought to be expectation. For those who lived in Babylon now, everything seemed to be in free fall. All that they were familiar with and had held on to for so long, it was gone, and now things seemed to be out of control. And all that had happened, and all that seemed to be going to happen around them was such that we could really say, enter foreboding thoughts and feelings. If you take a moment just to consider them, and how far removed things were now from what they would have called normality, how easily all expectation could have been taken away. Expectation is important, and the Lord knows that better than any of us. And he says there in that verse, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know, and toward you are important thoughts." You turn there to the book of Psalms. We look together in the Psalm number 62. Psalm 62. This Psalm 62 is a combination of a psalm and a lyrical poem. And it is a psalm that speaks in several of the verses about the stability that a Christian has, because God is referred to here on several occasions as the psalmist's rock. And over in verse 5, he says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." My expectation is from him. Now, he knew what it was to be in a tight corner and to have, as it were, the supports taken away from him. In some degree, that has been our experience as a nation during these past weeks. Maybe in your experience, even recently, that is what you can testify to, that there has been, it seems, that removing of supports, and more your focus is upon him, as other things that you depended on are not there anymore. Well, the psalmist here says, "My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him." For then, and he goes on to say, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Now, there was plenty happening that could have moved him. But here's confidence. Not in himself, but confidence in God. He goes on to say there in verse 7, "In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him." The psalmist here is, well, he's saying to the Lord, but he's also saying to all of us, that my expectation is in the Lord. And a Christian's expectation should be as great as Scripture can make it. And I trust that will encourage you tonight. For an example of expectation even being surpassed, I want to look with you in Genesis chapter 48. It is that time in the life of Joseph when Jacob has received encouragement in that he knows that Joseph is alive. There were many years of negative thinking. He talked about Joseph as being dead, and he'd been convinced that that was the case. And now Joseph is alive. And it says in verse 11 in Genesis 48, "And Israel," or Jacob, "said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face," didn't expect it, "and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." God has showed me also thy seed. In other words, what God has done has been greater than my expectation. Now, Jacob had, understandably, his gloomy conclusions concerning Joseph. Thought he was gone long ago. And he was told that Joseph was alive. We know that the scripture shows us that he fainted. But here in this verse 11 now, his expectation has been exceeded. And this is not the only time, brethren and sisters, that God surpassed the hope of his people. You can almost imagine or picture the mother of Moses sending him down there into the river in a little ark of bulrushes, hoping that kindness would rescue him, and that somehow or other he would get by. But as a baby was placed in the ark of bulrushes, there would not have been in any way the expectation that this baby Moses would be educated in all the learning of Egypt, that he would become even there a mighty man, and that he would be the one who the Lord would use to deliver Israel from bondage. Expectation was far surpassed. And I want even those few thoughts that I brought to your attention regarding expectation, the surpassed expectation of Jacob, how Moses and how he fared was beyond the expectation of almost anyone. Let those thoughts tonight scatter any doubts that plague you now. Remembering what we said earlier on, we're looking here at the posture's mind, the posture of the Christian's mind. It is so important. And the Lord says here, "I know," and he also says, "toward you." I like to think of those words that we are the apple of his eye. To remember that every day. As we look here at the posture of a Christian's mind, the first word that we wanted to look at was expectation, but another word is examination. If I can look back in Jeremiah 29 and verse 12 this time, it says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Now, these words would no doubt have got the attention of many, because before Babylon, carelessness had crept in. And there was that among the people which was slack, and there was almost a total neglect of devotion. And that lack of devotion and that carelessness had gathered momentum, and it still does. Whether it's in the life of a nation, the experience of a congregation, or in the daily walk of a child of God, this carelessness can gather momentum. And our hearts can trip us up. There's a very familiar passage there when we are thinking here of examination. That is, examining our own hearts. It's in Haggai chapter 1. And people here are confused, because it shows us in verse 6 of chapter 1 in Haggai, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now twice there in those first 7 verses of that chapter, we have the words, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Because they're saying in verse 2 here, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And of course, it is always time for working for the Lord. But what we're saying as we turn to this chapter here is that here were people, and yes, they'd lost their way. And there were individuals involved, and it always starts with individuals. There were individuals here, and they lost their way, and they'd been so focused upon themselves that what was the Lord's work was being neglected. Now, you don't totally neglect yourself. I'm not suggesting that. And you need recreation time. You need time for your family. You need holiday time. But God's work always goes on. It says there in verse 10 of Haggai chapter 1, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. There's no freshness with them. They've lost the freshness. Sometimes that can happen to us. And whenever it begins, how it can gather momentum. And what really we want to do, men and women, is always make sure that self never becomes an idol. When General Booth was asked about his work in London and how the Lord used him, he was of course the man who was the founder of the Salvation Army. He was asked about what he had been doing in London, and he said, regarding his dying to self, that the Lord had had all that there was of him. He died to his own opinion, to his own ambition, and he gave his life to serving the Lord. And while there's nothing wrong with having wholesome ambition, and of course everyone in Northern Ireland have their opinions, the Lord must be first. In his house, in the book of Haggai, his work should have been looked to. And whenever you think of the children of Israel in Babylon, surely when the Lord said to them there that they would, it says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. When they left for Babylon, it wasn't like that. There was going to have to be a time of self-examination. And you know, folks, for the health of our mind, examination, self-examination is a very important thing. Didn't the hymn writer say, whenever they were speaking of, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? I fear there are quite a number of Christians who, if they would face up to today, would have to say that. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? The early days of conversion were great, but it shouldn't have ended there. The joy and the fervor and the resolve and the commitment and devotion should always be there with us. But the hymn writer did say, they went on to say in that hymn, the dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. You know what Babylon really needed to learn? They needed not to learn not to idolize themselves. Not to set themselves upon a pedestal. And the Lord here saying that in verse 12, that they would learn that. He says, ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Look over in that chapter, or that book, Jeremiah chapter 33, and it's verse 3. says there, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Now Jeremiah here is not in a very pleasant position. He is in prison, and the Lord now is really in these words in verse 3, where he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This is an invitation to ask for unusual intervention. Many of our prayers are quite ordinary, we think, and they may be for quite ordinary things. But here's an invitation. Here's an invitation to you and me to ask for extraordinary things, to ask for unusual intervention, for the Lord to come and to move in our part, even in a most remarkable way. The verse over there in 1 Corinthians, I'll read it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and chapter 2, and it says there in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That love him. Now it is very possible to be a Christian and you love the Lord because he has saved you and he's prepared a place for you in heaven and you've got assurance of that. You're still lost out. But what about that invitation in Jeremiah? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which I knowest not. Special intervention was required. You know, when the Jews were in Babylon, that's what was needed. That's what we've been praying for in our nation, that there would be divine intervention. And in circumstances in your life and in mine, there are those times when we need to pray for special divine intervention. Call unto me. That's what he said to them. You will call upon me. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thinking of the posture of Christian's mind, there is to be expectation. There ought to be examination for the welfare of our mind so that we're not taken up with self or sin. But then there is the word embrace. We look there in verse 13 and the first line of verse 14 in Jeremiah 29. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. What comforting, encouraging words these are. Ye search for me with all of your heart, I will be found of you. So really here, embracing what God makes available can make a notable change. Remember what we've just read about them calling upon him and praying. And the Lord's saying now, you're seeking me with all of your heart, I'm going to be found of you. In other words, I'm going to step into your situation. And I'm going to bring about a change. Because of the fact, well, number one, I love you. Number two, I've never left you. And number three, you're looking to me. You're looking to me. Brothers and sisters, the message is very clear. Ask and ye shall receive. And of course that is good for our minds. To be those who are constantly in touch with the Lord, in constant communion with him. It's lovely to look back to a couple of years ago when the Lord answered prayer for us, or when we really enjoyed a prayer meeting, or we were able to sit down and really enjoy the message and apply the word to our heart and obey the word of God. And that was a couple of years ago. We need an up-to-date experience. We need an up-to-date experience. And we're looking here at the posture of the Christian's mind. Expectation is so important. And therefore, there ought to be that examination in order that our mind is not filled with that which is careless, even thoughts itself. like the people in Haggai, more than thoughts of the Lord. But then there is the embracing. Embracing will mean that we run to Him. We look to Him. But then there is the thought here of excellence. It says in verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The word peace gets the attention of a lot of people in very many different contexts. You can imagine the stress and a considerable amount of anxiety with those who were captive in Babylon at that time. There had been a huge change in circumstances. As I listen to these words, I'm thinking, well, one day the temple, the altar, and the sacrifice, we'll have that all back again. Remember, please, that in their hearts and minds, there may have been uncertainty. Uncertainty because in the recent past, they have been reminded of their frailty. Part of the reason why they're here. They've been reminded of their frailty. And in the recent past, being reminded of just how vulnerable they are. And you know, when you think of this pandemic, the nations, nothing less than that, the nations have been reminded of how fragile and how fickle and how futile man is if left to himself. Half the world is shut down. Futile and fickle and fragile. That's the recent past. Christians believe, of course, that better days ahead. And we have that thought in our mind always that there will be days of great blessing and reviving again. And maybe personally tonight, you think, well, here's a promise for our people in lockdown. They're in lockdown in Babylon. But you're in lockdown to circumstances. And you're thinking tonight, well, you're talking here about peace, but I have a little bit of uncertainty there. Remember, folks, this is a promise from the Lord. Didn't he say that there? He says, he's promised there to give them thoughts of peace. His thoughts are towards them of peace and not evil, to give them an expected end. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. It's not something that is of a doubtful nature, but rather it is something that is based solidly upon and firmly upon the promise of God to them. Uncertainty for us is a natural thing. In fact, when you look around you, time erases cheerful thoughts. That would have been the experience with those in Babylon as well. Do you remember in the psalm when we read about them, they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Talk there in that psalm also about when we remembered Zion. Time had gone swiftly by, and it would go swiftly by, and still does. And sometimes when it goes swiftly by, it takes with it, swiftly, positive thoughts. And maybe you would love peace right now. Peace in your personal circumstances. The Lord is able to give you that. Peace in the land. There's great uncertainty. All right. But remember looking here at the posture of a Christian's mind. The mind of so many people is frenzied. But God has provided for us in His Word, whether it's in lockdown or not. The world is full of uncertainty. But the promises of God are all sure. I want to leave you with one passage. It's over there in the book of Philippians. You and I are both familiar with it, and I have turned the attention of the congregation to it on several occasions over the years. Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. He says to them in chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 6, "Be careful." And I'm sure most people are aware that that word means do not be taken with too much anxiety or don't be over anxious. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, thought here of the living in the spirit when he mentions that. He goes on to say, and supplications, thinking of prayer in particular, with various subjects that you bring before the Lord and things that you would like to see done. With thanksgiving, let your request, you see, there's the mention in that verse of prayer, supplications, and requests, where the requests are very important for us, because that means that little, minute details, you've got some of them to bring before the Lord tonight, because they concern you. And he says here, don't be anxious or over anxious for anything, but in your bringing of all of these matters before the Lord, make them known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What an encouragement from God's word. Because on there in verse 8 to tell us about things that we are to think of, that whatsoever things are true and honest, just and pure and lovely, to think upon those things and to know the peace of God. And I trust that as you and I think of the posture of our mind, we remember the importance of this, but we remember this verse from God. And in spite of what we have been thinking, that he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards us, thoughts of not of evil, but of good, and of peace, to give us an expected end. I trust that as we get to prayer tonight, that the Lord will enable you to pray even with what we have said in mind, and help you to lay hold upon him. And I trust that for all of us, in the coming days, that the answers would come. And may the Lord be pleased to take his word and write it upon all of our hearts.